5, 6, 7, 8. This is Magic the Amateuring, everybody. Welcome.
Hey, I'm sorry that I didn't come in with my super sick drum solo there, but I'm suffering from, you know, just like too much pressure. And Maria, I think that you, mm-hmm. as my drum mentor, mm-hmm. yeah. really just kind of need to lay off before you know, I have a breakdown.
But Megan, I'm supposed to say 5, 6, 7, 8, else how are you going to come in on time?
Look, I just need you to not count me in like that, okay? I need to 5, 6, 7, 8 on my own time.
But not like literally your own time.
No, but literally on my own time.
But on your own.
No, but literally on my own time.
So
I was trying to recreate the plot of the movie Whiplash.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen it.
But you're not being crazy enough.
I haven't seen it. Oh, do I have to just be like, no?
You just have to be like off the wall.
You're going to do what I say, drummer boy. You hear that song they sing about Christmas? It's not about you, it's about me. I'm the one in the drumming business who knows what's what.
Are you sure you haven't seen the movie? Because that's a verbatim speech.
And the Oscar goes to that drummer boy speech.
The drummer boy speech.
From Whiplash.
From Whiplash.
They should really give Oscars to speeches rather than actors because, like, whose job was it to make it good?
Well, isn't that what the, like, best screenplay one is about?
Yeah, but I want best speech.
Best one speech.
Yeah. There's plenty of movies where, like, the movie itself was garbage.
Yeah, but there's, like, the one good speech. I feel like we should petition the Oscars, and then it would be awarded to the person who gave the speech and the writer. It would be like a dual Oscar for that pair of people.
They have to share it, or it's like half. They each get half.
Yeah, they
of
each
it.
Get half. It's cut down the middle.
Oh, cut down. Oh, I was thinking top and bottom, but that's weird. Nobody wants the bottom.
No, nobody wants either. Like either half of that is a crappy statue.
Yeah, but at least at the top, you don't have the bottom half of a naked man just
there
in your house.
But then it has the base and it like says what happened.
Yeah, that's
true. If you
just
have the top half of an Oscar, it looks like you just stole it.
Like you broke someone's Oscar.
Like you poorly stole an Oscar.
Great point.
Like you did a bad job. This is a show about Magic the Gathering.
Welcome.
You haven't realized that yet.
Yeah.
I'm one of your hosts, Megan.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And today on the show, we're going to talk about Magic, whether you're returning to the game, have always played the game, have never played the game, or somewhere in between.
We like to encompass all players and people of all stripes and or spots and or skin with no stripes or spots.
Yeah.
Into our show. So
in
today,
fact, if you have spots, you should get that checked out. Adult chicken pox can be deadly.
You mean shingles?
What?
Shingles is adult chicken pox, right?
It's like, shingles is like if you have, it's like really bad chicken pox.
Oh.
But like also if you're an adult, I think it's mostly if you're like a lot older, but it can be like you can die from it.
If you have freckles though, that's fine.
Oh yeah. That's
unless it's
cool.
An odd freckle, you might want to get checked out by a doctor.
That's not a freckle, it's a mole.
We are not a medical podcast. I feel like we've had to
so
make that
don't ask
disclaimer
us.
Before. And a disturbing
number of
times.
So don't ask us
why
you should and should not get checked out at the doctor. Just assume that you should.
Oh, God. Okay, on today's show, we've got a smorgasbord of brilliance for you.
That's right.
Including what's coming up in kind of the standard format and the modern format ahead
yes.
of the World Championships.
What? That's right. The World Championships are happening in just a few short weeks. Week and a half.
Days. Is really the word.
We could really count it in days if we wanted to.
We could count it in inches, actually.
What?
I mean, we're inches away from the World Championships. Literally. Because we are in Minnesota. They're in Seattle at
so
PAX.
So we have to, like, measure the distance?
Yeah.
Why are we measuring that in inches? That seems, like, just... That's ineffective.
It is, except when we're there in Seattle, it's going to be more accurate,
that's
down
true.
To the inch.
That's true. I still feel like feet would be better. Or, like, honestly, I'm a metric person.
I get it. You're from the future.
I'm one metric person. It's my size.
At some point, we're all going to have to go metric. Star Trek foretold it, so.
That's true.
It's going to happen. Yeah, so World Championships coming up this weekend. Megan and I are going to be there. It's going to be really awesome. Wizards
yes.
gave me graciously a badge, flight and hotel, so I'm going to hang out at PAX and kind of give you guys the lowdown on what's what and what's up at
yeah.
PAX and the World Championships.
Oh, it's
so
going to be awesome.
Follow us on Twitter at MTAcast to get just basically an inside pass yourself from PAX.
Yeah.
It'll be my first time. I've never been there. Megan, have you ever been there before?
No.
So you're going to see it all firsthand from us, especially since Kaladesh is going to be talked about a lot at PAX.
There's so many panels.
Oh, so many panels, you guys.
So many panels about Kaladesh.
And a street fair.
A street fair?
Yes.
Holy cow.
I mean, we're going to be in the scrum with you there. And don't look at me like that.
I'm not going to be in the scrum.
All right. I'll be in the scrum. Megan will be on the sidelines.
I'll be in the scrimmage.
And we're going to be sending you tons of media. We're going to record audio, video, pictures, tweets, Facebooks, facebook.com/MTAcast. So get over there and be our friend. I'll probably upload stuff to our YouTube channel as well.
What?
Yeah, it's going to be just killer. So follow along for all the action this weekend. Of course, the World Championship's going to be streaming on Twitch, too, so you don't want to miss that.
It'll all be bomb.com.
Yeah, we're going to give you a little overview on what the World Champs actually is coming up in the show.
That's right, with a very special guest.
Special guest. I'm so excited.
But you're going to have to keep tuned.
Keep it together, okay?
We're keep tuned to find out who it is, and we're going to chat with them all about the different competitors. We're going to evaluate how we think everybody's going to perform on more metrics than one.
Yes. Metric, there's that word again.
Yes. But in this case, I'm using it in, like, a different way. Like, this is metric to mean, like, any different sort of measurement.
But what if you had a whole bunch of metrics, as in sort of measurements, like, by which a standard by which you apply?
Like, if I have metrics?
Yes.
Then that's just confusing.
Before we get into our show, of course, I want to say thank you to all of the people who recently became patrons on patreon.com/MDA.
Thank you so much. It was amazing.
Yeah, we got a new influx probably because I said less than 1% of our listeners are patrons.
That's right. Are it's you true. In the...
The less than 1% club?
Are you in the 99%? Do you know what? We all spend too much time in the 99%, frankly.
Yeah, I agree.
So bump yourself up into the MTA cast 1%.
I want to give a real serious note here, what? Megan, in that Megan's job was recently eliminated.
That's true.
And
very seriously.
Seriously.
I was laid off because my job, they restructured and my job just literally doesn't exist anymore.
It's gone.
Yes.
So now, Megan, you are a full-time podcaster.
For the time being, I am a full-time podcaster.
And I, secret, Megan doesn't know this, I want to keep her that way. So let's get some let's get some patrons and make this happen. Am I right? Am I right?
We would do so many crazy things.
We would do amazing things.
Crazy
amazing things we would do.
I know some of them.
Yeah, we've got some stuff in the works.
We've got stuff up our sleeves, but not these sleeves, because these sleeves are too small to contain our plans.
Our
big plans.
Huge.
That's right.
Yeah, and I really want them to happen, and I want to see where we could go with this. So head on over to patreon.com/MTAcast and throw a buck away our episode. It goes a lot further than you might imagine. So, yeah, thanks everybody who's new, and welcome to everybody who decides to become part of the family this week.
You're awesome.
We're joined by Erin Campbell, host of The Girlfriend Bracket, and Magic Mike. She's on our show, and we're going to talk the World Championship with her.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for having me back. The last time we worked together was when I did the Miss Cleo right before the last GP Vegas.
Oh, yes. And you were so right in all of your predictions.
Yes. I know, right? Did you know that Miss Cleo died?
Yeah,
she died last month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought of you guys. I was like, oh my God. And, you know, I immediately thought of, you know, emancipation, devastation. And I was like, oh my God, we slayed that. And I hope I did her proud.
Yeah. The real question is, did she know she was going to die?
Oh.
Don't we all?
I mean, I guess we do.
We all.
I guess we
That's do. The one area in which we're all clairvoyant.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. Yeah, but that was great. So we're happy to have you on the show again. Yeah. We saw you at GP Minneapolis, and we're just like, yes, this needs to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. And
it's
then
been,
you guys went and did well. Like, what was that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was great.
Unanticipated.
It super was.
Really unanticipated.
Like, seriously, I said on the show, I didn't think I was going to win a single match, actually. That's how well I thought I was going to do that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to dote on you guys, though, for a little bit. Because for those who don't know, I've been on the show before. And the last time I came on the show, I recorded with you live. This is when Sidisu Whip was standard legal. So what, 2 years ago?
Right.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And you guys were about 2,500 followers. You were just kind of stepping into things. You were still big. But let's look at you now. Over 8,000 followers. I'm serious. 8,000 followers. You are a business. You are both writing for Wizards of the Coast. You are right behind Limited Resources, and on some days you're above them. You guys are huge, and I'm so proud of you all. And I'm just so blown away by everything you've done, and I just wanted to dote on you for a little bit.
Oh, you my come God. Over you. The voices. How about we dote on you for a second, though, okay? First of all, you're wearing your girlfriend bracket shirt, and it's awesome.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful, and amazing. I know because I've seen them in real life, and they're great.
Number one GIF user on Twitter.
You mean GIF?
Shut up.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, what? She didn't.
Megan.
I can say it whichever way I want, can't I? I was trying to say it right.
No.
GIF. Number one GIF user. No, have you seen Aaron use peanut butter on Twitter?
Oh, my God.
That's only for DMs, though.
But we're so excited to have you back because we love every episode you're on. And what better episode to have you come on than to talk and just dish about the world champs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this all got started because I was watching the Pro Tour. I was watching the Pro Tour the other day, and I was remarking how we need to do like a magic fashion police, like Joan and Melissa used to do, you know, Joan Rivers, rest in peace, icon. And I was like, wouldn't it be fabulous if we did that? Like, if we had like a red carpet and we asked pros who they were wearing, what they were wearing. And then afterwards, you know, you have the people who go over the plays, the really technical things, and we just judge them on what they wore.
Like, yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love, I mean, just having somebody strut the red carpet at a magic event.
At the magic event, that would be so good.
I would
love
that. You
better work, Miss Calcano. You know?
So did you have a favorite best dressed from the Pro Tour just off the top of your head from what you remember?
You know what? Not really. I mean, I do admire the way that the Channel Fireball guys, you know, they have their team shirt, that really nice black button down. And it always appears to be pressed and clean. Yelger, Reed, Owen. Owen really turned it out this time. He changed his hair a little bit. You know, I think he had a good haircut. Yeah, it really blew me away. You know, he really got dialed up for the event. LSV looked great as always. You know, I think they were probably the best dressed team. I have to say, I would agree with that.
I would absolutely agree.
Side note, we are going to be going to GP Louisville, speaking of teams, and the team Gnarled Pack will ride again. Hopefully we will win Best Dressed Team.
We'll try.
We'll try really
hard.
We'll
be trying.
You're going to have some stiff competition, though, because our friend Morgan is on a team, just confirmed the other day, with Emma Handy and Jadine Klumperens.
What? That team is baller.
Oh my gosh. They actually asked me to join. So it was Emma and Morgan, and they needed a third. And they asked if I could come, and I hadn't really decided yet. And then all of a sudden, and they were like, well, if you can't come, Jadine's going. And I was like, you know what? I'm bad at limited. Do your thing. And so the three of them are going. I think they have a team name, something. I swear to God, I think it involves something about birth control. I don't know.
Perfect.
But it's scandalous, and they're going to kill it. So God bless them.
That's a really exciting team, actually.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, so we've got 24 competitors, world championships. Only one can survive.
Literally.
And by survive, I mean win $70,000.
Oh, I thought we meant only one of them would be alive.
Oh, nope. They'll probably all live.
Oh, gosh. What are we even doing?
We really need to up the stakes of this world championship. It's like Survivor magic style.
Yeah.
Oh.
I always said, though, you know, one of the things I like to joke about is whenever the Pro Tours come around, they put all of these guys in a house. And I was like, wouldn't it be fabulous if there was, like, a real world style where you had, like, the confessional room and you have, like, Paulo in the middle of the night. He's like, I cannot believe Owen ate the last Oreo cookie. And you really get to see, like, inside of them where, like, BBD is snoring, you know, Lucas Blohan's cutting his toenails in front of everybody. That's what we want to see. We want the pros to stop being nice and start getting real. That's what we want.
I would watch the heck out of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just want the confessional booth so bad.
Are you kidding me? Bad. LSV would troll that confessional booth so hard. It would be so funny. Yes. All right. We'll make this happen.
Yeah.
So 24 players. Let's just go quick overall first impressions / you've been thinking about it a lot. Which player do you think is going to come out on top? Who's going to take it all home? Megan.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to change last minute, and I'm going to say JC Tao.
JC Tao. All right. Yeah. Sweet pick. Tell me why.
You know, he won one of the early pro tours of the season at Oath of the Gatewatch. He came to GP Portland with a sweet deck that we hadn't seen at the pro tour. He was playing like an Abzan Planeswalkers deck that did really well. I just think, you know what? That's what I'm picking to win it.
All right, JC Tao.
I thought it was a bold move to show up at Portland with a new deck, and it paid off. So there you go.
All right, Aaron, who do you pick for your favorite?
All right. Well, there's realistically, and then there's in my ideal situation. So okay, realistically, okay. I'm rooting for Owen. Owen has had a stellar year, 2015-2016 Player of the Year, 2015-2016 Midseason Master, top pro points in North America, recent Hall of Fame inductee, top eight of this recent Pro Tour. I mean, what better way?
I mean, to say.
I'm just saying is, I mean, like, you know, this would be a really great kind of final gem to put in his crown. If I've accomplished all of these things, let's just do one more before we go. And but if I had my way, it would be Reed Duke. And
what a surprise.
I mean, there's a little bit of logic there because, you know, Reed was in the running for, I think, Player of the Year. And he was a little behind. Like, to be fair, he would have had to go through a lot of hoops to get it. A lot of the guys had a really big lead on him. And so, you know, not only did he do well at this last Pro Tour, but this could be his sort of coming back story of, you know, I didn't necessarily get this, but I'm going to claw my way back. I've got this top eight Pro Tour. Let's add this to the resume kind of thing. And just, who doesn't love Reed? Come on, just...
Oh, obvious. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. He's really starting to, at the end of the season, he really made a huge push. Mm-hmm. And so it could be that push continues into the World Championship.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you guys my idea for Feminist Reed Duke?
It's really good.
Can I tell the viewers?
Yeah,
go for it, please.
So for those who don't know, there's a meme called Feminist Ryan Gosling. And it's basically pictures of Ryan Gosling with him saying things like, "Hey girl, my sweater is made out of material, boyfriend material." And it's just these really sweet kind of things. And Reed is shown on Twitter and on social media to be very aware of women's issues and things like that, which we love. And I was like, wouldn't it be fabulous if we had like Feminist Reed Duke, or we took pictures of Reed Duke and we'd put something on it like, "Hey girl, let's discuss intersectional feminism while we wait for pairings to go up." And I was like, or like there could be another one of like, "Hey girl, your basic lands may not match, but you and I do." And I was like, and it needs to happen. So
first of all, if your basic lands don't match, just get out.
Get out.
Thank you. Emma Handy. I love picking on her for
there's
that.
There's the door.
Yeah.
There's
Emma loves
the door.
That. Emma loves to respond to that because Emma's lands never match. And she's like, "Well, I'm more concerned about winning." And I was like, "Well, some of us can't worry about that, Emma. All we have is aesthetics. We don't win. That's all we have is being pretty."
You know what? It's less distracting for me in a game state if all my lands match. How about that?
I get offended.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I lost to a Lantern Control player one time, and all of his ensnaring bridges didn't match.
Ooh, that's... upsetting.
And I was like, "Look, if you're gonna do this, the least you can do is make sure your bridges match." I was like,
"How dare you ensnaring bridge me and then also make them
salt
not
in the
match.
Wound?" You know, like
they were like, "I bet like at least one of them was white bordered."
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yuck.
Gross. Maria.
Yes, Megan.
Who's your pick?
So we've got just a cornucopia of amazing players this year. Each one of them has a fair shot at winning. But my personal...
And they all would look great at Thanksgiving. You said a cornucopia.
I'm not imagining someone with an apple in their mouth. I'm not imagining someone with an apple in their mouth.
I've been around
like
a table.
A centerpiece?
No, like a family.
Megan!
Like all of them.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. No, I see now how what I said was creepy.
Yeah.
I see it.
Yep. But if they had a family Thanksgiving, all 24 of these people, you know.
Wouldn't that be so
That would
funny?
Also be pretty like, cute.
Wouldn't that be adorable?
It would.
But it could also be grim, because you mentioned earlier how amicable it all was. Of like, "Oh, we're going to have a nice tournament and no one's going to die." But then I just had this image in my head of like the loser being like for dinner. Like.
Yes. Do you know what also has a cornucopia? The Hunger Games.
Well, yeah,
oh
that's what
God.
I'm saying. Up the world championship. Give them a bow and arrow plus a deck. See what happens.
Yeah.
Put some cameras in there.
I mean, they always have all of those, you know, like those set pieces in the feature match area of the Pro Tour.
Like Celebrity Deathmatch, Have you ever watched those old shows? Like, all of a sudden, they're just going to find random things where it's like, and here comes Marcio Cavallo with the Graf Digger's cage prop, and he just bashes someone with it and shoves Andrea Mengucci into the cage, and he's out, and just random shenanigans.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would watch a Nerf war at the World Championships.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Nerf war.
Like slow motion Nerf war.
Or like what if they were also all secretly playing a game of like Assassin?
Yeah.
There's some two game? Tournaments. There's the World Championship and then there's a secret game of Assassin that's happening.
That's really good.
What's Assassin?
It's the game where like so if 24 people were playing, for instance, you'd start out with 24 names and each person gets another person's name. Mm. And if you, like, you have to try and, like, it depends on the rules of, like, the game that you've set up. So this one would be a Nerf one, and if you ever shot that person with a Nerf gun, then they would be out, and you would get their, you would inherit their name, so that would be, like, your next target. And at the end, there's just one person standing.
That sounds like fun.
I love the idea of a sub-game happening during the World Championship.
If Wizards is listening, and they, you know, they just said the other day that they're trying to brainstorm what to do with the Community Cup, which is something we've all had the fortune of participating in.
Yes.
That needs to be one of the events.
Sub-game of Assassin.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Okay, but Maria, we still haven't gotten to your pick.
Oh, yes. Indeed. My pick is going to be Luis Scott Vargas to take it all home.
Yeah.
This guy is just absolutely incredible at Magic. I gush about him on the show a lot because I've watched him play, and it's like watching someone from another universe play Magic, and that universe is the universe where Magic was invented. Mm-hmm. And
wait, we don't live in the universe where Magic was invented?
It's like Magic was invented there, and then it came to Earth. So, like, we are seeing it from, you know, somebody who is
They live in, like, the 4D world of Magic, right. And we just play the 3D world of Magic.
Yeah. It's all around them all the time.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, their beds are made of D20s. Oh, okay.
That sounds like the worst bed.
That doesn't sound very comfortable.
Sounds really bad.
That's a terrible bed.
But LSV, like, he said he did not think he was going to be here in this World Championship. He's played in it before. And he didn't think he was going to get another chance, but he's just had the absolute most insane season that a pro can have. And here he is, and I think he's just going to keep going, in my opinion. He's not going to let up. He just had a baby. He's in a great mood.
Can we talk about that baby, though? So freaking cute.
Oh, my gosh. So cute.
The burrito blanket. I mean,
how great of a name is Naya?
It's great.
It's like the perfect Magic, non-Magic name.
Yeah. I don't think very many babies are cute. Spoiler alert / confession. Now who's on the Real World?
I have a theory about cute babies. Do you want to know my theory on them?
Yes.
Because I love babies. I'm a sucker for cute babies. Like, I can be pretty hard a lot of the time. Like, people describe me as being sometimes unapproachable or kind of, you know, stubborn or whatever. But you put a cute baby in front of me and I just fall to pieces. But here's my theory. People with cute babies don't show them off as much as the people with ugly babies. So, like, when I go to work, for example, we have women that have pictures of their babies in cubicles, and it's always the ones with little centaurs that have pictures everywhere. The parents with cute babies, they're like, I'll give you one. That's all you get is just one. My baby's cute. What? The ones with, like, little tentacled hellions are, like, everywhere. And I've noticed that the uglier the baby, the more likelier the parent is to share it.
Do you know who lives in an alternate universe?
Who?
Erin, because she just described tentacle babies and centaur babies.
Found it out, Erin.
It could be an Eldrazi centaur baby. I mean, just why limit yourself? I mean, we are living in a world where there's Eldrazi octopi with Flash. I mean, we can have it all.
That's true. If I ever have a kid, I'm going to name them Eldrazi.
Megan.
If I have a little kid, I'm going to name them Icarid and call them Icky.
Nice.
If I have a kid, I'm going to name it Kitchen, so then it knows what it has to clean up.
Got real dark.
Very Cinderella there. Like,
yeah. I'm already an evil stepmother. It's not going well. So those are our top picks. Is there anybody else that's worth mentioning? I mean, I think...
They all are.
I know, but I mean, like, just in case... That's my runners-up for my spot. LSV won my spot, but Brad Nelson and BBD are both of my, like, second and third runners-up for chances of winning.
BBD had a great year. Lucas Blohan, total Bond villain. I love him. The name. Yeah. Hello. Love it.
Oh, Lucas is... And I mean, like, speaking of, we were talking earlier about how players are dressed. I love that in this photo, he's rocking a collared shirt and sweater.
I would love to see more of that. You know, I've been a big advocate for, you know, instituting a dress code at premier, like, pro tour worlds events. Yeah. You know, I'm so tired of seeing medical scrubs, basketball shorts, beanies. Like, this is the pro tour. Even chess. Chess has a dress code. And it's not that firm. Like, you can wear jeans to chess as long as they're nice jeans. You know, you can't wear, you know, clothing with profanity on it. You can't wear messed up clothing with holes in it. Or it's not that firm. But, you know, and maybe it's just the fact that I've never been to a pro tour. Like, maybe once you've been to so many, you just don't see it the way that we do. But when I'm watching at home, and I'll never forget this, when Jared Betcher made Rookie of the Year, and I remember they were interviewing him, and he was sitting in this chair, and he had these really baggy shorts on, and you could totally see up his leg.
Oh.
And I was just like, if that were me and I was Rookie of the Year, I would look nice. Like, that would be, I would be so honored, and I would be, and even like I said, the Channel Fireball guys, just because they're still casual, but still very clean and very crisp, and really there's just kind of no excuse. And I don't think at GPs it has to happen, but I think like if you're the pro tour, like the freaking pro tour, Worlds, these prestigious events, like just step your cookie up a little bit, like just a little bit. That's all I ask.
Yeah. I'm personally a huge fan of the sweater and shirt combo.
And like I said, you don't have to go like Todd Stevens on him or anything.
I'm looking at it.
He looks like an upstanding sailor.
Yeah. He looks like someone who would sell you Bibles if he knocked on your door.
Exactly.
But I mean, there's a lot of star power here. There's Lucas Blohan, BBD, Paulo, Andrea, Seth Manfield, the cyborg.
I feel like I'll put Seth Manfield in like my set of three.
Yeah.
Like my first one up there.
Being JC.
My second one's gonna be Seth Manfield.
Okay.
But we have Joel Larson, we have Swedish Kibler, we have Martin Muller, Danish Bieber. We have tell me you don't see it. Tell me you don't see that. Thank you.
Eyebrows.
Sam Pardy, most pro points of anybody, I think, this year that's in this roster.
Greatest Twitter handle as well. Party time.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see that his family was supporting him at the Pro Tour? Did you catch that interview?
It was so cute.
They said the sweetest thing. They said something to the effect of, you know, we got to show Samuel the world when we were raising him or when he was growing up, and now he's returning the favor by letting us travel the world with him and see his accomplishments.
Oh, so
it was
great.
Super lovely. You know, Andre Strosky's awesome. Oh, at Yuya. Freaking Yuya. Hello.
I mean, like, machine.
Shota Yasuka, who secretly is a member of Team Petty. If you ever read his his top eight profiles, they are gold, simply because of what he doesn't say. I'll never forget, there was one GP where they asked him, like, did any of your opponents impress you, or did any of their decks impress you? And he goes, none of them. And I was like... So Shota's just very curt, and you got to look between the lines there, and there's just this really subtle like undercurrent of petty that I live for. And so I love Shota so much.
I'm gonna put Yuya in my top three for sure.
Yeah, Yuya is
just
up there.
Just insanely good at magic.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So
I don't know if you could ask for a better list.
Chu. This is like his first. He's one. He's so little. He's so little.
He's the Rookie of the Year.
I know. He's a little... He's just so young.
He's just a little
guy. Like his first... Isn't this like his first year being platinum? And he just finished high school.
These are kids. Aww. I was the last GP, GP Portland. There were two young men in the top eight, 14 and 15. What were you doing at 14?
What
was I doing?
I was like filming comedy videos in my parents' basement. I think 14. That's one of my top 14-year-old memories.
I was reading The Babysitter's Club and eating Kraft mac and cheese out of the pot because I was too lazy to put it in a bowl.
Why put it in a bowl? Why dirty two dishes?
That's what I say about that.
Yeah, you're just being efficient. I spent a lot of 14. There was a skunk in our backyard.
Oh my god!
And we had a dog who was too dumb to figure out that the skunk didn't want to be his friend. So I spent a lot of 14, like, washing a dog in tomato juice.
Oh, my God.
How long did that take you? Were all of 14 or just, like...
Yeah, he was really fluffy. He was a German Shepherd Chow mutt mix. He was, like, really fluffy.
I'm just imagining you washing this dog and, like, the time-lapse footage of, like, the sun going up and going down down, and you're still washing that dog.
That's basically what
I really
it was.
Just kind of wanted you to stop after you said there was a skunk in my backyard.
At age 14?
Yeah. Do you know what? I remember my 14th birthday. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I made a scavenger hunt for all my friends to go on. That went all over the town, like all over my hometown, and they had to go and get different clues at all the different locations. But I made it too hard. And so at the end of the night, they showed up at the last correct location. It was something like 1 in the morning, and they're like, we're going home, Maria. This was ridiculous.
That's amazing. That's so good.
Classic.
So you were basically like a 14-year-old Tamio, just like little clues everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never thought of myself as a Tamio.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
there's some cameo there. Yeah. So there's also Mike Sigrist, who intimidates me more than anyone.
Oh yeah,
that I've ever met. I don't know.
He looks so lovable. Look at him.
Really, I just remember at Grand Prix Charlotte, I was doing text coverage, and I felt like every time that I wanted to talk to him, I was like a mouse.
Maybe.
I was
a mouse. Really? You just need to, you know.
I was just a mouse. I was
put
like,
your big boy pants on.
You know, it's funny that you say that. It's funny you say that, because for as much of a fan of Reed Duke as I am, I still, whenever I run into him, I get nervous and I call him by his full name. So I ran into him at SCG Baltimore last February, and he was at Noodles with a couple of other guys, and I ended up being behind them in line, and he's talking, and he goes, "Sup, Aaron?" And I was like, "Nothing, Reed Duke." And I just completely melted in like a 14-year-old. Yeah. And I ran into him at GP Oakland in January, and I had some of his knight tokens. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to sign them, and same thing. I was like, "Reed Duke, if you're not busy, Reed Duke, could you, Reed Duke, could you sign these tokens for me, Reed Duke? I'd really love it, Reed Duke, okay, if you could sign these." And I just queen out so hard.
Aaron, like, there's still time for you to solve this. You just have to act like you think that's his full first name.
Yeah.
Just be like, "Oh, I was so confused. Like, I thought that was your first name. I thought you didn't have a last name. I thought you were like Madonna."
At this point, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of cute stuff, Takemura, who is a champion of Pro Tour Battle for Zendikar, which was the Pro Tour I was at.
Oh, that's right.
He was so adorable when he won. He said that the trophy was for his fiance,
yes,
who is now his
I
wife.
Love and that.
That was like the most adorable so thing in the whole world to me.
One of the guys from GP Rimini, I think, did that, or GP Portland. One of the last ones. I remember we talked about it on the girlfriend bracket. Same thing. He wanted to give that win to her. And I think that's screw flowers and chocolate. Give me a GP.
I know.
Win. That's what
no.
I
that's how you know you found the right person when they say they would dedicate their Pro Tour trophy to you.
Yes.
Nothing less will do.
Yeah.
I would totally be that girlfriend, though. Like, if God forbid I ever dated another grinder, they'd be like, I'd be like, "So how'd it go?" And they're like, I was 34th on Breakers. And it's like, 34th, yeah.
I have standards.
Interesting. Right, you know? I used to say that, you know, sarcastically, I used to say, because I'm single, I used to say that I wouldn't date a judge L3 or lower. But then they recently changed the system, so now I have to, or it's like, okay, L2 or higher, I will date.
It takes a lot of work, man.
I mean, a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm not going to settle for a rules advisor. I mean, I have some self-respect, you know, just... How would you even introduce him to your friends? "Hi, this is Jake. He's a really nice guy. He's a rules advisor." It just doesn't quite...
No, it doesn't roll off the tongue at all.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't.
Rules advisor. No.
Technically, we're all judge level zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob told us is true.
Yeah. Well, that's how I introduce myself to people, so they really know what they're in for.
I'm Megan Judge.
Judge level zero.
I once had a skunk in my backyard. It's not a metaphor.
No.
Is that tomato juice? Huh? You just get paranoid. You smell
really,
it everywhere.
I want the moral of that story to be that my dog was so dumb, you guys. He was the nicest dog, but gosh, he was stupid.
He's pretty, but you know.
He really was. He was like a German Shepherd Chow mutt. But he had like German Shepherd coloring, but like a little, he was like poofy like a chow with a curly tail.
Cute.
It was.
Does the smell of tomato juice just take you back? You know, sometimes when I smell like wood in a fire, I'm reminded of like a cabin or something romantic like that. Do you ever just smell tomato juice and you're like, "I'm coming"? Like
exactly.
You're just ready to bathe
like,
your dog.
Hold
you're just...
on! Don't go near. No! It doesn't want to be your friend.
You know what I like about right now?
What?
That we're just sitting around shooting the S. Talking about magic.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We're really talking about a lot of magic right now.
Well, you know, but in a way that's not like, normally our show is pretty based on helping you improve and teaching things about the game, but it's important too, I think, to just sit around and like, you know, BS with people about magic, and we're still kind of talking about it in the way that we love, and I don't know, I just think there's something
it's nice.
Cool about that.
I think
that.
We're teaching people things. We're teaching people that there's nothing wrong with, you know, cleaning up a little bit when they go to events, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, being a little nervous around, you know, pros that you're a fan of. This is all perfectly normal. Like, they're learning things.
Yeah.
So the World Championship is a pretty sweet format. So it goes 3 rounds booster draft, 4 rounds standard.
And that's just on day one.
That's day one.
It's day one. How many days are there?
There's more.
4.
Day 2, draft. Day 3, modern. Day 4, top 4, standard. That's a lot. I mean, variety is the spice of life.
Yeah. So obviously we all know Booster Draft is happening. Spooky Moon and Shadows.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Standard, I guess some of the questions are like, what decks are we going to see maybe?
Oh my gosh.
Are we going to get to see Cat Pact?
Cat Pact? Ooh.
I think we might see Cat Pact. You know, I was at PAX last year when the last Worlds happened, and I remember that metagame being very bizarre. I think Living End was the most played modern deck. Yeah. What? So that was something people didn't expect to see. And I think that you will see the decks like Ban Company, but I think that particular metagame is so unique that you might see some choices.
I mean, like, you're playing against the best in the world.
You know that there are only 23 other people that you're going to be playing against.
Yeah.
That's true. That's really crazy.
You've got to really out-meta the meta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saturday is Modern, which, Aaron, congratulations. Dredge made top 8 of both the Modern Open and the Standard.
Do you take credit for every time Dredge?
She's just happy. She'd just be happy about it.
My mentions were trash that day. I was at a PPTQ when this was happening, and my mentions were just, anytime something Dredge happens, I get tagged in it. Can I get an official comment? Can I get your thoughts? And I'm just like,
The official Dredge Bassiter.
I have people that refer to me, and I didn't ask them to do this, but I've recently had people refer to me as the Dredge Queen, and they will tweet me and say, "My queen, this happened," and they will link things. I'm like, oh my God. And so, I guess I'm the Dredge Queen now. But no, it's fantastic. You know, it is there is a bit of a double-edged sword in that, you know, Dredge is one of those decks where, you know, I don't want to say the true Dredge players, but those of us who've been playing for a while, we really thrived on the fact that people didn't know what we were doing. We thrived on being that 1% of the meta. Nobody cared. Nobody was talking about us. And now everybody's writing about it. Tom Ross, Ross Miriam, they're telling you not only how to play it, but how to beat it. People came prepared for it. At the last PPTQ I was at, a third of the people were just ready for it. And so with that, you know, that fame and that publicity comes the bad side of now everybody's coming for you. I'm going to GP Indy next week, and I'm not playing Dredge because I know everybody's coming for me, and I don't want that. I mean, I'm used to that in Legacy, but it's different in Modern. And I also don't really care for the specific build that the guys played. That's a bit of a thing too. But in the grand scheme of things, it's fantastic. And I think Modern's in a great place right now, and God bless them.
Yeah, this is the first time we'll see. Yep. So we'll see Magic, or we'll see Modern at the World Championship next week. There will be a Modern portion that's like the first time that it's going to be at the World Championship, but it's not a Pro Tour format anymore.
No.
Yeah, and I'm a little really worried. Shaking it up. I'm a little worried, though, because there was a mox that recently happened, and a lot of the pros have been very vocal about the fact that they don't like Modern. And so, you know, I think we might see a repeat of what we saw last year, where they're just sort of YOLOing it, where they're going to play things like Bogles and Living End, and, you know, because the interest isn't there. They're not really they're not as interested in Modern as they are Standard, and I don't think we're going to see a lot of the decks that we're used to seeing.
Last four rounds between them and the top four, though.
They gotta. It is the least number of matches they're gonna play of any sort of format, unless they make.
It's equal to Standard.
Yeah, if they make the top four, then it'll drop off. But that's true. You know,
in the Swiss portion.
Oh man, I don't know. We could see some Eldrazi coming back. The last time we saw it on camera was in Detroit, was it? After the Pro Tour?
Yeah.
Yes, but Eldrazi was still a thing.
Yeah, it was.
It's now evolved into Bant Eldrazi.
That's true.
Which is now, which thrives on Noble Hierarch. More of a general hate bearsy kind of direction. Drowner of Hope.
Yeah.
Thought Not Seer, Reality Smasher. Still very viable. I believe it was in the top 3 on Magic Online. Yeah. So Eldrazi are still a thing, but not nearly to the level of oppression that they were, which is what Aaron Forsythe said when he went on camera. He was like, you know, we want to kind of stall the deck, but we don't want to completely obliterate it. We want people to still be able to play Eldrazi, but not nearly at 40-50% of the meta like it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited to see what they bring for Modern. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Who flipping knows?
They just throw in the kitchen sink, put a fork in there.
What? Yeah. Don't put a fork... And wait, you can put a fork in your sink.
Were you thinking about
Modern? Modern is in such a good place right now, and I think that's part of the reason why the pros don't care for it, is that you really can play anything in Modern now. And in the grand scheme of things, that's fantastic. Like, I was at a PPTQ the other day, and I was facing Mardu Control. I was facing Eldritch Evolution Abzan. If you go through the classic deck list from the SCG Opens, you're seeing things like Blue-Red Prison, Death's Shadow is a tier one deck. Yeah. What? You know, elves. It's the format. Elves just won the Invitational. you really mm-hmm. can play anything in modern. The downside to that is that you can't be prepared for everything, which is where I think the pros kind of get angry with it. You know, one of the nice things about Eldrazi Winter was you knew what to prepare against. You knew.
Eldrazi.
They were coming for you.
Knew, yeah, but now it's like, you know, you may go to an event and you're facing four color infect and you're like, what? And you don't know what's going to come out of somebody's sideboard because the decks are just so dang diverse.
Well, maybe that's a good thing though. Like, I mean, for a pro, like it's frustrating, obviously, but for a viewer, that's what I want to see.
Oh, maybe. Ultimately, it's a good thing because people can really play what they want to play. And you're seeing things like Red White Prison. You're seeing things like Abzan, Sultai. You know, for people like you and I, it's a great day. And I encourage people to, if you're thinking about playing Modern, now is really the time because it's anybody's game. And this is a good time to jump in.
Play what you want to play.
Yeah.
And let the decks do their thing.
What are you singing?
Brave by Sarah Bareilles. It's a mediocre song.
Okay.
At best.
That reminds me, the last time I was here, I did my obscene version. I did my magic version of Anaconda.
Yes.
Well, now I have my dredge version of My Boyfriend's Back. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
Okay. Hit it. Remember My Boyfriend's Back? Well, it's my blood gas back and they're gonna be in trouble. Hey, la, my blood gas back. There you go. He's been gone for such a long time. Because it's true. They go away.
Yeah.
They come back.
Yeah, they come back.
Look out now because he's coming after you. My blood gas is back. I'm telling you.
We should record a magic album. All the greatest hits.
All the greatest hits. All the greatest hits.
If you'd like a preview of that, you can listen to our Christmas episode from this past year, which was a horror show of us rewriting the lyrics to Christmas songs.
I don't know. Why are you calling it a horror show? We did such a good rendition of White Christmas that YouTube flagged us for copyright.
That's right. It was a cappella for...
That's how you know you've hit the big time.
Suck it.
That was like the week that you guys announced that you were a business. I had a big milestone of my own. I don't know if I told you, but somebody name dropped me on Grindr. I know you're jealous. It's fine, but
yes.
So you guys might have a business, and you guys might be tax deductible or whatever. But I'm big on the gay hookup apps. Just.
Gosh.
Yeah.
One day.
There's just one part of my life where I feel like I'll never make it.
One day, Megan. Hang in there. Okay?
Yeah, somebody sent me a screenshot. One of my friends was actually on the app, and he was like, girl, I'm trying to hook up with this dude, and he just said he totally knows you. And I was like, what? And he sent me the screenshot, and sure enough, my name came up in a Grindr exchange, and I totally know her. And I'm like, hello.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So if you want to get lucky on Grindr, just say you know Aaron Campbell. That's all it is. And the dudes will come running.
Hello. I'm a straight white girl, but I'm here to name drop.
I would pay you so much money. It would be so good just to see that happen.
Age sex drop. Favorite format.
Oh, man.
Well, all that's right. The world championship, boys and girls.
You're going to be listening to this on Tuesday or maybe on Friday.
Yeah.
Next weekend. Next week. It's the tail end of August / the beginning of September.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And like we mentioned, PAX time, just follow us.
Do you remember the very first day of September?
Are you singing September by Earth, Wind, and Fire?
I am. I'll admit that I'm doing a terrible job.
That is not the lyrics. That's why.
No, that's I was making up the lyrics to go with the world championship because it's on the first day of September.
Okay.
You know, Megan, you're back to washing the dog with tomato juice.
Excuse me, you guys. I can smell a skunk, so see you later.
Where are you going?
Gotta go wash that dog.
Megan, how dare you? Flavortext Theater presents
Real Fight Card Fight.
We're gonna fight them.
We're gonna fight.
So we've got a pack here of Spooky Moon.
And a pack of Shadows Over Innistrad.
And we're gonna crack it and have the cards face against each other. Which would we pick in a draft scenario?
Battle to the death.
And then we're gonna say who would actually win
in
a real
battle
fight.
Battle to the death.
Yeah. So we want to make sure we line up correctly
here.
These
cards will go into our pile of cards that go to our lucky Patreon member.
Yeah.
The one who is selected at the end of the month to receive this as well as several other packs that we have cracked and a couple of uncracked packs.
Yeah, we've got some good cards for this person.
There's definitely a spell queller in there already.
Yeah.
In addition to 2 Spooky Moon boosters and I think 2 Shadows boosters right now too.
And then whatever the heck's in these
bad boys. So we're adding
I'm excited.
Another pack. Okay, wait. Let's take the rare off the top.
Should we do the bottom first?
Okay. Ready? All right. One, two, three. I have Unruly Mob.
I have Brazen Wolves.
Ooh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. So I would pick Brazen Wolves in the draft.
For sure. A 4-3 for 3. That's what I'm going to pick.
When it's attacking,
which if you're playing red and you're not attacking.
You almost always are.
What are you doing?
You know what? I feel like, oh, wow. Like,
Wolves versus a mob? That's a great question.
That is a really good question.
Because it's a lot. It's not just one wolf.
I feel like that's a really even fight.
It really is.
That's a very even fight.
But, like, these humans in Innistrad, they don't have guns.
That's true.
They've got, like, a pitchfork and an axe.
And swords. Fire.
Ugh. Fire? The humans probably are going to win.
I think it's humans.
All right.
I think it's the unruly mob.
All right.
Because it's a whole mob.
It's a mob.
It's a mob.
And a pack of wolves is never more than, you know, 7. Science.
I think someone was talking about the, what is it, like... Like pack of alphas or band of alphas or something. They're like, did they literally just not understand how alpha works?
I get it.
One, two, three. I have Pieces of the Puzzle.
I have Waxing Moon, which is the instant that transforms a werewolf you control.
I refuse to take a card out of this pack.
Megan.
No, that's not true. I take Pieces of the Puzzle.
You're taking that over Waxing Moon?
Oh, gosh. I mean, they're both just very deck-specific.
They're very deck-specific. You're not going to take Waxing Moon unless you have werewolves. You're not going to take Piece of the Puzzle unless you're dirtling around like a dirtle pants.
So I'm just picking based on what I see myself doing.
Okay.
I see myself taking Pieces of the Puzzle.
God, it doesn't do anything. I guess, and it costs 3... I'm going to take Waxing Moon.
Yeah. I feel like Pieces of the Puzzle beats a Waxing Moon.
Like, in a fight?
It's assembling and a Waxing Moon. Also assembling.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Ooh. And a moon's just hanging out in the sky. I mean, it's That's a moon. True.
Pieces of the Puzzle.
You could say, literally, do pieces of a puzzle beat the moon in a fight?
No, the moon wins. All right, Waxing Moon. One, two, three. Ooh, Thraben Inspector.
Oh, Wailing Ghoul.
I take Thraben Inspector all day. Do you know what? Someone made fun of me. Doc made fun of me for having 3 of the Thraben Inspectors in our first triple Innistrad draft. And then they're like, it's just great. Like,
who's laughing now, Doc? But who's going to win in a fight?
Ooh.
Probably the Wailing Ghoul.
No, I think this Inspector wins.
Yeah, she probably has got a sweet sword.
Exactly, she does. She has this giant sword, and the Wailing Ghoul is just a ghoul.
Just like a zombie, your average zombie.
Yeah.
All right. One, two, three.
Ooh, Sanitarium Skeleton.
Versus Woodland Patrol. It's a 3-tooth vigilance.
I think in the dark, I just take Woodland Patrol.
Yeah, Woodland Patrol in the dark is... All Woodland Patrols look the same in the dark. I'm going to take that too because it's kind of just a solid whatever.
Again, in some decks, you're going to want the skeleton.
Correct.
Skulkington.
Skulkington?
Skulkington. Okay, but which one wins in a fight? Woodland Patrol has multiples. But yeah, the skeleton just comes back.
It's like the guy that you jump on in Mario, and then he just keeps regenerating.
Ooh.
Hmm. But I feel like even if he keeps regenerating, he's still not going to kill them.
He's in a sanitarium also.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't even get to them. They're out. They're out patrolling.
All right, Woodland Patrol.
All right, Woodland Patrol. 1, 2, 3.
Boom.
Moorland Drifter.
Versus Weirded Vampire, which is the 3 and a black for a 3/3 has madness. 2 and a black.
Moorland Drifter.
Moorland Drifter all day, for sure. Weirded Vampire, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you see what's going on with her?
It's so creepy. It's not okay.
Sick.
There's like... arms growing out of her back.
She's got like little spider legs growing out of her back.
And it's pushing her up off the bed where she was resting
like
a vampire.
This is disgusting. I've never looked at this art before. This close. Yuck.
I know. It's real gross.
She's going to win that fight. Disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, Moorland Drifter is a spirit, but this vampire horror just takes it down. 1, 2, 3. Gone Missing.
Lunark Mantle. Speaking of which card beats which in a draft. Oh, boy. Gone Missing, the perfect answer to Lunark Mantle. Yep.
I'll put your card on top of your deck. Creature on top of your deck.
But I have never once played Gone Missing in this format in a draft.
That's true. I mean, there's just so much less of it now.
Yeah.
So I feel like, okay, of these two, okay, I take Gun Missing.
Okay. I'm probably going to take the mantle just because it's more my style. But in a fight, Gone Missing versus some bloody angel wings. A hat versus angel wings.
A floating hat. Or is it the lake?
Oh. It's a Gitrog monster, really, right?
I think Gone Missing wins because it's the mystery, really.
Yeah, I agree.
The mystery beats, okay, you killed an angel. Good job, buddy. 1, 2, 3. Aim High.
Versus Fogwalker. Aim High, I guess. Whatever.
I mean, Fogwalker's all right in the right deck. No, it's really mediocre. I take on Aim High, probably.
Yeah, but somebody launching a bow, I think is going to
beat this Fogwalker. Although, look at how creepy he is. Look at him. He's a real big ghost, and he's just sneaking up on this.
Slinky fingers.
He's sneaking up on this guy who's asleep.
Tough one. Yeah. I guess a bow and arrow is not going to do anything against a Fogwalker.
That's right. He's just a spirit. Yeah, so I think the Fogwalker might win. And, you know, Aim High, there's worse combat tricks. It untaps a creature, so you can surprise him.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
+2/+2 is a reasonable buff. 1, 2, 3. Oops, I accidentally flipped my token card.
Okay.
There we go. Shamble Back.
Versus Thermo Alchemist.
Thermo Alchemist all day.
Yep, Thermo. You know how we feel about that card.
Yes. And also, look at this dude. He beats the zombie all day.
Oh, yeah. He's got some firearms.
He really does.
Like, literally firearms.
I don't care how many crows are doing your hair.
The crows are doing Shambleback's hair.
They really are.
Cute.
They really are.
Gross.
Look at this. Yeah, literally firearms. Literally. Awesome.
Okay, ready?
1, 2, 3. Voldaren Duelist.
Versus Fiendbinder.
Ooh,
what a great battle.
That is.
Wow, they both do a similar thing in very different ways.
I think I take the Duelist.
I
for the haste.
Like the Duelist as well. I've had that card, and it's just, no one ever expects the Voldaren Duelist.
Yeah,
and that's true. Fiendbinder is solid, but the element of surprise in a very aggressive deck and making something not be able to block, plus getting an extra 3 power in there, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
In a fight,
the Fiendbinder wins because the Fiendbinder literally binds fiends. And
this guy's a fiend.
A vampire is a type of fiend.
Yeah, I agree.
So Fiendbinder wins. Real fight. 1, 2, 3.
Ooh.
Trail of Evidence.
Versus Geist-Fueled Scarecrow.
Okay, again, like what kind of deck are you playing? I'm playing a Trail of Evidence deck every time.
I like Geist-Fueled Scarecrow, actually. 4/4. Creature spells cost 1 more to cast because it's really annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, you can play it, and your opponent's kind of like, they're like a step or two behind you usually after you
but
play.
But this is only your spells. This is only your creature spells.
I know, but it's still 4/4
for 4.
It's still
4/4.
Yeah. In a battle, obviously, the Scarecrow's going to win over a pile of...
Over literally just a
trail.
Oh, look, it's
a field of books.
It is. Oh, you don't think the field of books wins?
I mean, I don't know. How are they going to... They're going to shut on him? Suffocate him in their book pages?
Yeah, can you imagine getting snapped inside a giant book? I just imagined it.
That sounds like a good time as long as the book is good.
I mean, like, you're literally standing inside a giant book and it snaps shut.
That's pretty painful.
I think Trail of Evidence wins a real fight.
All right, card
One,
fight, real
two,
fight.
3. Obsessive Skinner.
First uncommon, Noose Constrictor.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Noose Constrictor. That card is so annoying. Speaking of annoying cards to play against.
Noose Constrictor is great.
Obsessive Skinner has his own home, but...
Did I tell you, so there's a great story from the day one of GP Portland. The Fevered Visions burn deck was a big deck there. And one of the guys was playing, I think, Jund Delirium.
Yeah.
Or some... Yeah, I think it was Jund Delirium that had Noose Constrictor in it. And he was just like, yeah, I was about to die, but then I drew and played a Noose Constrictor, and Fevered Visions only burns you if you have more than 4 cards. So he would just discard all of his cards to Noose Constrictor. Not all of them, but, you know, down to 3 cards so that he didn't get burned out by Fevered Visions.
That's awesome.
And he was like, game 2, I just had 2 Noose Constrictors in my opening hand, and I was like, yep. That was great.
Oh, that's so good.
Also, Noose Constrictor wins a real fight.
Yeah,
you can't
skin
a snake. Wait, yeah, you can.
He's still going to strangle that guy, I think.
Yeah, no, he's just going to strangle the
crap
out of that.
He has a skull in his art. Okay.
Yep. 1, 2, 3. Inner Struggle.
Versus Geist of the Archives.
I pick Geist of the Archives. Wait, no. This is a different card than I thought it was. I pick Inner Struggle.
Yeah. Inner Struggle, I think, is the pick. But man, Geist of the Archives, great card.
Yeah.
In real life, I don't feel like that Geist of the Archives is going to do any damage to you. It's chained up.
No, but look. It's reading a good book. And do you know what always helps me when I'm dealing with inner turmoil?
What?
A really great book.
Okay. So this is like more of a metaphorical fight.
No, a real fight. In a real fight, good books beat our inner turmoil.
Okay, I'll stand for that.
That's why they endure. One, two, three. Ooh, I have Second Harvest.
I have Imprisoned in the Spooky Moon.
Imprisoned in the Spooky Moon.
For sure.
All day.
Second Harvest, no good. So we got some sweet rares. Imprisoned in the Moon was a fun rare.
Yeah, good card.
Real Fight, Second Harvest. No, wait, Imprisoned in the Moon. Gosh, that's...
Yeah.
It beats Emrakul.
It traps anything in the moon.
Yeah.
Put it in... Hey, what are you having trouble with today?
Oh, my homework.
Put it in the moon. Tell me something. What else are you have? You, ma'am over there. Yeah, what are you having trouble with?
I'm supposed to sign off on a mortgage.
Put it in the moon. you, kid.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Oh, there's a skunk in my backyard.
Put it in the moon!
One, two, three. Oh.
Convicted Killer.
Shrill Howler.
Ooh, I take Shrill Howler.
Shrill Howler is a great card.
Yeah. It is. It's real good.
And it's... Oh, does it beat the Convicted Killer in, like, a real-world fight?
In a real fight?
I mean, it does have a... its flip side.
I think it does. I mean, it's a werewolf.
Technically, it doesn't... I mean, it's a 3-5 versus a 4-4. They just bounce off each other.
But in a real fight, yeah. I think the wolf horror beats the human werewolf any day.
It transforms into Howling Chorus, by the way, which... Ooh. I didn't know. I forgot that was what it...
I mean, so it's like a bunch of wolves.
Sweet.
It's like a sloopy wolf horror.
Yeah. What's this card?
This is my checklist.
So yeah, these cards will be going into the pile for our patron who wins at the end of the month, which how many more episodes do we have? Just one? Ooh. Until we give this stuff away?
Yeah, just one.
All right.
So
stay tuned. Next episode.
Donate.
You yeah, and
sweet cards.
Next episode is going to be cool, too, because it's going to be live from PAX.
That's right. We are going to already be in Seattle as of next week, or as of this coming weekend.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, be ready.
We're going to have some sweet guests, no doubt.
Yeah.
Sweet content
no,
all week.
No, we can't book, no doubt. I tried.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but we couldn't get some of them.
We were
sorry.
So close. No Doubt's coming on the show.
They were like, look, we tried to get back together and it just kind of was fine. And so, no.
Oh, I wanted to hear the live copy of Spiderwebs on the show.
Sorry. Not happening.
What about I'm Just a Girl?
Not happening. They won't. We can't get No Doubt at all.
Oh, Gwen's gotten too big for him, hasn't she?
She really has.
Whatever.
She really has.
Show. Thanks for listening.
Yay! You should remember to check us out on the interwebs at MTAcast on Twitter. Send us an email, magicktheamaturing@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook/MTAcast and our website where you can pick up sweet playmats and sweet shirts.
MagicTheAmaturing.com. I tried to buy MTAcast.com for y'all, by the way, because I was like, oh, we should just buy that because it's easier to type or whatever. I looked it up. It's like $300.
Yeah, I saw that.
Isn't that weird?
If you bought it.
Come on.
Come on. Turn it over.
Come on. Hand it over. We need.
Hand
we're trying
over.
To make it easier on your fingers.
But we couldn't.
We couldn't.
MagicTheAmaturing.com.